We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So, do you miss The Office? Do you miss the energy, rubbing elbows with colleagues, heading out on the Skyway to grab lunch? The energy is different, right, when you're working at home. I get that. According to Future Forum surveys, only 17% of knowledge workers, people employed in information technologies, 17% of knowledge workers want to return to the office full time. But only 20% want to work from home full time. The vast majority of people surveyed want flexibility. That's not just flexibility where they work, but also when they work. I mean, for me, it's always fascinating to step back and look at the trends, try to have some perspective. And when I think about all of the crazy disruptions, the changes that we are undergoing right now, technologically and otherwise as a nation, I think of Tom Kiefer, one of my friends, a serial entrepreneur who always has sage advice and a unique way of looking at things. How's that for a build-up, Tom?
Hey, there you go. Well, we may come up short on the sage advice, but we'll entertain you for a minute here anyway.
Is that extra? That costs extra for the sage advice?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you make of the whole work thing? I mean, how would you answer that? And none of us have a crystal ball, but it sure seems like we're not going back to 2019 when it comes to schlepping downtown, logging our 5 days at the office Monday through Friday, and then schlepping home. I mean, do you think there will be permanent changes?
Oh, there's permanent changes. They've been made permanent already in many companies, many employers that I talk to. They're putting their offices up for sub-rent or a portion of their office space. They've already fully accommodated more work from home, buying extra technology for their employees. And, you know, for those of us who were in the tech industry prior to COVID, much of that was already underway or had already been embraced. Mm-hmm. So the tech companies actually had an easier time of sort of this shift, you know, to remote that was prompted by COVID. But everybody now is caught up, and we're not going back. And I do think it will be a hybrid. I think I've probably shared with you before, I think the office is going to become more of the clubhouse kind of thing, and it's going to be a place where you go and you can still collaborate, you can still see your teammates, you can still have that sort of socialization and just those dynamics that happen when you're together. Because some of that just can't happen if you're even in a full fidelity Zoom call. You know, it's just not going to be as good as sitting there. Like you say, rubbing shoulders. On the other side of it, I think, you know, people have decided, hey, you know, this working remotely from wherever I want, being more time with my family, not a bad deal. And the only thing that's probably gotten really shortchanged out of all this is people have spent less time in their cars. So that's not a hard trade-off to make. So,
yeah, for most people, I can't say I miss my commute. I like to drive. But the monotony of a daily commute and the traffic uncertainties, I get that. You talked to me off the air about a trend you're seeing with unbundling. Can you explain what the heck is unbundling and how is it going to affect our lives? Is it already affecting our lives?
Well, again, this is one of these things that was underway. Something, you know, if you're into the tech space at all, there's been all this talk of digital transformation, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so a lot of these things were being unbundled already, you know, partial remote work, more video conferencing. And I think that's really going to accelerate now in the workplace. Another form of unbundling, just to think about it, is retail. Mm-hmm. And just think about how your retail expectations have changed in the last year. And, you know, because retail and shopping has always sort of been this combination of discovery, you know, shopping, experience, logistics, and all that's been broken down. I mean, think about, you know, our typical Target run now, we don't even go in the store. You pull into the special little parking spot and the guy comes out with your stuff, and, you know, it's changed forever now. And some of that's pretty convenient, you know, so that's just one example. I think in the workplace, it'll be a little bit even more dramatic. I think people have come accustomed to the fact that your job has now been unbundled a little bit. You know,
what does that mean?
You know, well, the assumption about that you had to go to a particular place at a particular time with a particular group of people to do your job has changed. For many, many people, that has changed. And that unbundling, so there's some components of it. You know, so one is, first of all, the good news is there's still a job to be done, but there's going to be a lot less focus in the future about exactly, you know, how the job gets done or when and where.
Okay.
Get the job done, and, you know, that's what we want you to do. And again, all these things were underway already. COVID has simply accelerated it and sort of made it okay. So we took 5 years of sort of thinking about it, and it just suddenly it was thrust upon us, and people figured out, yeah, you know, this actually works pretty well. There's some things that aren't quite as good, but, you know, another component, think about the job. So unbundling a job. So first you got the job, then you got the place you do it. Well, people can now work from home or work from wherever. You've got the social team element. That's a little missing. You know, we're going to have to find better ways, and that's what the clubhouse is all about. People are going to want to come back and be able to spend time with their cohorts and collaborate. Another element of a job traditionally has been there was always this sort of gaining of experience and learning. You know, sort of, you know, you grow in your career, more experience, et cetera. And that's going to change as well. I think people are going to have to adopt more what I'll call self-agency and start to do a little bit more of that for themselves. And a lot of companies are actually encouraging this, you know, remote learning, e-learning, those kinds of things. And then the last element of sort of the traditionally bundled job, I think, was compensation and benefits. And all that's being busted apart now, too. And you can go buy healthcare, you know, from a variety of different places, for example. You can kind of put together your own benefits plan. And where a lot of this leads to is people are going to, I think they're going to see a lot more people going into an independent contractor gig type employment.
The gig economy has been accelerated by this. And do you think, I mean, W-2 full-time positions are going to taper and more people are going to have 1, 2, 3 side gigs that collectively pay the bills, and maybe they're doing better than they did when they had one full-time W-2 job?
Yeah. So first of all, one joke could be many people may be doing that already and their primary employer doesn't know it. And there was actually an experience back at Yahoo, you know, 10, 12 years ago where they found out it was actually the case. Pretty good majority of their employees, or not majority, but a good number of their employees were actually gigging while they were still collecting a full-time paycheck. Hmm. But the other thing that's happened is that in many ways, both the companies, you know, the employers and the employees have already sort of accepted this new contract, if you will, of getting paid for performance, you know, not getting paid to show up, getting paid to get your job done, however long that takes. And, I mean, you're only one step away from independent contracting. And the other benefit of that as we move more towards this gigging is that people are going to be able to start choosing the part of the job that they're really good at and that they really liked. I'd rather go do that 4 times a week at 4 different places than only get a chance to do that for a fraction of my time in my full-time job where I get bogged down having to do all this other stuff that I'm not quite as good at.
So the days of being a generalist when you have to do 12 things, maybe three of them really well and one of them you really do well, maybe the days of the generalist are over, and now, I mean, we all become specialists again. We get to focus on what we love to do and where we can add the most value.
Yeah. Yeah, I think to a large degree. I mean, there's always going to be room for specialists, or for generalists, rather. Because, you know, you still need a group of people and an environment that can stitch all this stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's going to be a lot more room now for people to really be more sort of project and skills focused as opposed to role focused.
Okay.
So I think it's exciting. It's going to give people a lot more options, a lot more choices. Another thing that's happened, I think, during this COVID crisis is that people have had a chance to really stop and think about, what am I passionate about? You know, and is my job, could it be more fulfilling? Is my job suddenly better because I get to do it at home and I get to see my kids more? You know, so all those kinds of things, I think those questions are being asked, I think, more frequently and with an alternative, with a reasonable, real alternative that you could actually maybe dial in a different work style than you've had in the past. So
yeah, just a better work-life experience.
Right.
It's never going to be perfect, but you can always make it better. Tom, stick around. When we get back after the break, I want to ask you about the implications for greater Minnesota. If I can live anywhere, I would prefer to live in an area where I have more land, less traffic, fewer hassles. I want good bandwidth, internet bandwidth, to be able to do my job. But I'm just curious when we get back, to get your take on the implications, not only for greater Minnesota, but rural parts of America that maybe haven't experienced some of the same growth that urban areas have in recent decades. A chat with Tom Kiefer next. So, full disclosure, Chris Tubbs is producing today, and I told him that we were having Tom Kiefer on, and he goes, "Oh, Tom Kiefer, the lead singer of Cinderella?" He said, "No, not that Tom Kiefer, a different Tom Kiefer." And then he sent me a photo. You're like a little groupie standing next to Tom Kiefer, the singer. Was he cool? Good guy, Chris?
Yeah, he was. But full disclosure, I probably might not have remembered it accurately because, you know, when you get VIP at Ribfest, I mean, you take full advantage of the free cocktails. So, I mean, I was excited, and I was a bit tipsy. I was a bit lubricated that night, but it was fun.
Well, good for you. As long as you're not driving.
No, not that I remember.
That's a good thing. Tom, I have to ask. I mean, you are not that Tom Kiefer, right? You were not in Cinderella. You're not a singer.
Well, yes, I haven't really disclosed that very many places. Paul, but we're friends, yeah. So all I had to do was drop one F from my name and change identities. But yeah, that was me.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I had to sneak that in. But anyway, for those of you just joining us on CCO, Tom Kiefer, a serial entrepreneur, one of my mentors. You've been there to help clean up some of my messes. You start a business, you're going to screw stuff up. But if you surround yourself with smart people who are willing to tell it like it is, you have a chance of pivoting and surviving, finding a way that is viable and sustainable. Do you think this whole trend, the information revolution that's upon us, you know, I keep hearing about the exodus of information workers from places like San Francisco, the Bay Area, Seattle, yep. Who can now live anywhere they want. Why on earth wouldn't you want to live somewhere maybe where you can get a bigger house, better cost of living, make your dollars go even farther, and not have the hassle that you might have living in a big city? And I understand the appeal of big cities, but in the age of COVID, that's been stood on its head. Could this be a good development for greater Minnesota?
Well, absolutely. I think it's it's going to be a good development for greater rural America. We're already starting to see that happen. In fact, just kind of a sidebar to that, you know, as you know, I've been active in the startup and entrepreneurial community in the Twin Cities for a very long time, and not only initially as a practitioner, but then as trying to be a mentor and a coach. Mm-hmm. And I just really enjoy the whole process. And our big adversary all the time, and we're always compared to Silicon Valley. And everybody's aspiration was, well, we want to be just like Silicon Valley. And so I'm an optimist, right? You wouldn't be an entrepreneur if you weren't. Another good thing that's come from COVID is that we've pretty much blown up that assumption that only good things come out of Silicon Valley. I mean, people right. are leaving. We're finding that it's not the competitive disadvantage that it used to be. If you're a tech company, you can be in the Bemidji and be competitive as long as you can hire people. In fact, you can hire people anywhere. Yeah, so it's a great. There's a great unbundling happening there too, and great opportunity for those who can be flexible and move.
Yep. I just hope we have some democratization of internet speeds. And I realize, you know, a lot of the internet companies say, well, it isn't profitable to provide gig service to Wilmer or Olivia or Little Falls. And it just seems to me like that has become such a utility, like electricity, like water. I mean, companies don't say, well, we're not going to provide water or electricity to Little Falls because there aren't enough people living there per square mile. And yet when it comes to cable, specifically internet cable, and I wonder, maybe satellite delivery will be the inspiration, the disruptive technology that gets high-speed internet everywhere. But I just think that's still kind of a missing link, because that would be my first question. You know, what are the internet speeds?
It's actually available. Good enough service is available almost everywhere now. But you have to be creative sometimes. In fact, you know, one of the great movers here that's just going to really help level this problem as you're describing it is around this new 5G. Mm-hmm. If you bought a new smartphone recently, iPhone or a Samsung or whatever, they're all coming with 5G. And the 5G networks are really being built out. These are very high speed networks. You'll be able to get that kind of bandwidth now over your cellular, you know, mobile phone and be able to work from anywhere that you can get a decent 5G cell signal. And so I think all that's going to really greatly improve here in just a couple of years.
Boy, I hope you're right. I know you've started and sold a number of companies, and I'm oversimplifying things, but does everybody have at least one business in them, one good idea, and is now is now a good time to launch a business? We talked with Mercedes Austin, who launched a Minnesota-based company, a really cool tile company, Mercury Mosaics. Jordana interviewed her yesterday. She launched this at the beginning of the pandemic. She was flexible, nimble. They didn't have to lay people off. The company is growing. And I know there are a multitude of businesses out there that are still doing well in spite of the pandemic, but yep. Is it easier than it was 10, 20 years ago?
Never been a better time to be an entrepreneur.
Really?
As we come out of this, COVID coma, you know, because here's the thing. Entrepreneurial activity is always born out of change and chaos.
Right.
Okay, well, there you go. You know, you can't think of too many times in our lifetime or even over the history in the last couple hundred years where there's been this much change and chaos. And the change, again, some of the unbundling we talked about earlier, you know, you can kind of make up some new rules now. You're not as tethered to old expectations
right.
as we were a year ago. So yeah, it's a tremendous time to jump in and maybe scratch that itch, a business you always wanted to do. It's a great time.
That's good to hear, and that's sort of my take, too. You talked about optimism. I think most entrepreneurs are optimistic by nature. I also think they're curious, and the smart ones realize they don't have all the answers. So you surround yourself with smart people who can help to point you in the right direction. But you said something a long time ago, Tom. We need to focus on our skills, learning new software, being up on technology. You could argue every business now is a tech business. Just ask a farmer. Some of the biggest techies I know are in the farming world right now. It's amazing what's happened with agribusiness. But you said people fail to focus on their networks. Can you close by just reminding people how important it is to reach out, to get out of your bubble? If you do have an idea, you need to share it. You need to shake hands. Well, when it's safe to shake hands. But talk about networking and why that is as important as reskilling and retraining.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that maybe one context for networking is to think about, you know, the curiosity and collaboration that's really required to advance an idea. You know, you can only be a genius or whatever. You can only have a great idea in your own mind for there's a limitation of that. And now you need to start bouncing that off other people, getting feedback. Hey, will this play? And, you know, call that networking, call it whatever you want, but that's the opportunity. Go out there, mix up. And again, there's never been a time where everything's a jump ball right now. So it's a great time to put some new assumptions out there, test some new ideas with friends and network. The other thing about networking right now, as we start to reopen things, and I'm starting to carefully do this again a little bit. In fact, I had two networking meetings, you know, this morning. That I hadn't done that kind of thing for about a year. You know, you do it very carefully. But people want, people that you never thought you could get a meeting with will take the meeting.
Really?
Everybody wants to get out. Everybody's looking for some new ideas, you know. So I think it's never been a better time. And yeah, but you've got to network. Nobody is smart enough by themselves to really advance things and figure things out.
And you also have to be willing to take some risk, right? Nobody likes to fail, but you have to be willing to fail. But there are things you can do to lower the risk.
And you can take wise risks, and you can kind of containerize the risk and make sure that you're not, you know, putting your family in harm's way or something. But yeah, frankly, the biggest risk that people don't like to take is just simply risking putting a new idea out there. And hey, you have the risk of your best friend saying that's the stupidest idea they ever heard, but you won't know that right until you put it out there. So you got to get comfortable doing that, and that's one thing I was, I guess, lucky as a young entrepreneur. I kind of considered that to be coaching and free advice, and not criticism, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's well. Tom, thank you. Tom Kiefer, appreciate you joining us today on CCO, and we'll be back for another visit soon. We collectively want to encourage other current entrepreneurs and would-be entrepreneurs that this might be a good time to wing it and give it a shot. Thanks, Tom.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. See you. Take care.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.